I discovered three particular people or groups of people that if I were intimate with and continually grew in intimacy with, would guard me from any devastating decision I could figure out. I am still convinced that if you are intimate with these three people or groups of people, that you will never make devastating missteps. If you remain intimate with them, in other words, you stay in love and you grow in love for these three people or groups of people. Person number one, you need to stay intimate with your Creator. In other words, you need to love Jesus more every day.
Amen.
Now you say, man, that's awesome, but I mean it, guys. We are not intimate with our Creator. I am often not intimate with my Creator. I know my Creator. I believe in my Creator. I want to serve my Creator. But really, honestly, of the 24 hours in a day, how much time am I dedicating to intimacy with my Creator? How often am I growing in my love for my Creator? See, when you are in love with Jesus, when you are in awe of Jesus, when you cannot believe what He has done for you, what He's doing for you, when every day you're looking and going, man, He is awesome, then misstepping into devastating decisions becomes practically impossible. Because you're so in love with Jesus, why on earth would you? Every time someone has stepped into massive devastating decisions, when you track back in their life, somewhere along the way, their intimacy with Jesus began to break down. Not their belief in Jesus, not their love for the idea of Jesus. Sometimes they love Jesus still, but they're not intimate with Him. In other words, they're not falling more in love with Him consistently and constantly. The second relationship that I think is critical is intimacy with your spouse. Now, for those of you guys here that don't yet have a spouse, I would say this: intimacy with the idea of having a spouse in the future and who that person's going to be. I remember before I was married, my dad used to tell me all the time, live now as though you're married to your future spouse, because you're going to have to explain everything to her then anyway. Whoever you touch now is going to be explained to her. So if you love her now, then you will act appropriately now and after you get married. So if you're not married, your love for your future possible spouse is equally important as those of you that are married and your love for your actual spouse you actually have. Growing in deeper intimacy, falling more in love every day with your spouse matters. See, when I love my wife, when I look at her and things start firing off all over me, when I think about her and I go, man, that woman is awesome, when I just want to get home because I love her, then I'm not looking at a bunch of other people. Now, here's the deal. If I am not intimate with my wife, if there is a breakdown in intimacy, if frustrations and disconnections start marking our relationship, then I run into big trouble. Because then slowly but surely that breakdown inside of me leaves me vulnerable for me to begin to seek intimacy elsewhere, to connect my heart to other things, and before you know it, the stupid moments turn into massive, devastating decisions. Intimacy with my Creator, intimacy with my spouse, and third and finally, intimacy with my biblical community. See, God says in the scriptures, in Hebrews chapter 10, do not neglect meeting together, church, because you need to spur one another on or stir one another up toward love and good deeds. It is clear in scripture that we were given one another as the body of Christ to constantly push each other into greater intimacy with our Creator and greater intimacy with our spouse, so that we can continue to live in a manner that is guarded at the gates of our inner life, so that our actions play out to display what we already know, that our souls have been rescued, our purpose restored, and our future redeemed. And so if you are intimate with your biblical community, in other words, you have a small group or large group of people that also love Jesus and also want to love their spouses, and they are in the game with you and you are intimate with them, then watch this. If you love Jesus every day, every week, more than you did the week before, you continue to push toward that. You're connected to Him. You enjoy Him. You're in awe of Him. You love Him. You are intimate with Jesus. And you love your spouse. You've been building that intimacy, even though the world's trying to break it down. You're giving yourself to that. And you're intimate with your biblical community. I dare you to find a space in which you will misstep in devastating ways. See, as long as I'm in love with those three categories, as long as I'm actually genuinely intimate with them, I will not misstep in devastating ways. See, the beauty about intimacy is it depends on nobody else's observation. It depends only on what you know. See, accountability is something you can change with deception. But intimacy, I can't tell you if you're intimate or not. You have to decide that. See, intimacy is not a measure that you can pretend to be in. It is a reality that you either know you have or you know you don't. So intimacy is a self-directed reality that you have to determine. Am I more in love with my creator, my spouse, my biblical community today than I was? So the next step of my journey was simple. If I need to develop greater intimacy and maintain great intimacy with my creator, my spouse, and my biblical community, how on earth am I going to do that? Because I live a fast-paced life that breaks down intimacy every day. I have 8 kids. They exist to kill intimacy. I mean, they are just there looking for me to fail at work, not love my spouse, and hate Jesus. I mean, that's what they try to do. And I fight that every day. How? Here's how, guys. Here are 3 things I've determined have been very helpful in my life in constantly guarding intimacy. First, watch. Just watch. Be watchful every day, every week. Here's what being watchful means. It's very simple. At the end of each week, this is no joke, at the end of each week, not every day, because there are lots of days I am not intimate with my creator, my spouse, all my biblical community, and I dislike all of them, okay? So there are days like that. But at the end of each week, I look back and I ask myself this question. Do I love Jesus more today than I did a week ago? Have I preached the gospel to myself enough this week that I'm still in awe and more in awe of what Jesus has done for me than I did a week ago? Do I feel more connected to Jesus today than I did a week ago? I asked that same question about my spouse. Do I love my spouse more today than I did a week ago? Am I more connected with her than I was a week ago? Do I feel more intimate with her than I did a week ago? And I asked the same question about my biblical community. Now I've got to tell you guys, absolutely, emphatically, no. I am not more intimate with my wife today than I was a week ago. I liked her a week ago. Now I don't. So that is a problem. Okay? There are weeks when I look at my creator and I go, no, I have not preached the gospel to myself at all this week. I didn't even remember that Jesus existed this week. There are times when with my biblical community, I am not more intimate with them. Here's the trick. Being watchful means that you ask the question, am I more intimate this week than I was last week with these 3 characters? And if the answer is yes, then I simply do this. Good, Reno. Keep at it. Keep developing it. If the answer is no, a teeny tiny little panic button goes off inside me. Devastating decision on its way. Devastating decision on its way. If 2 weeks go by and the answer is still no, little panic button turns into big panic button. If 4 weeks go by and the answer is still no, you ought to be scared. You ought to be scared. Now for some of you, like me, there were seasons in your life and are seasons in your life that it's 3 months, 6 months, 3 years. I mean, you are on your way to a devastating decision. 4 weeks in changes the game. So be watchful, ask the question, am I more in love now than I was a week ago? Second, be nurturing. You gotta nurture this stuff, man. You gotta work at it. You think you're gonna get connected with Jesus, your spouse, and your biblical community because Jesus loves you? No. No, you think you're gonna get connected with them because that's just gonna just kind of unfold in your life? No, you're gonna have to work harder than you've ever worked at anything in your life to make these things happen. You know why? Because planet Earth is against you, and the enemy of God is against you. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this: be watchful and be sober-minded, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion to devour you. Dude, you are not even on the defensive. He is on the offensive. He's coming for you. He's coming for you every day. And what you need to do is you need to stand up and say, I'm going to nurture these intimacies. I am going to step in and say, what's it going to take this week through the disciplines of the faith to make sure that I'm pouring into my relationship with Jesus so I love him more? We've been given the gift of the disciplines of the faith. If you don't know what those are, come see one of the Iron Men or myself. We'll tell you. They're not difficult, but they're hard to do. Be disciplined in your intimacies with Jesus, with your spouse. I mean, your spouse is going to fight you. I mean, look at you. Look at me. I mean, I don't know why they love us. And so they are constantly going to need us to build intimacy with them because they have to deal with us. And so I want to pour in, what does it take through romance, through talking, yes, talking. Oh, I hate talking, but I gotta talk to her because she needs that connection. Connect to her, be there for her, serve her, even when she's totally demanding and doesn't deserve to be served. See, all these things, I have to fight this in my head. Build intimacy with your spouse. Love her more. Look for the good in her. Step in. Yes, when you get home, everyone's treated you great at work because you're the superhero there, and your wife has 8 kids and needs you home now, and you didn't mow the lawn. It's hard. I get it. But you gotta build. You gotta build. And then with your biblical community, you gotta nurture that intimacy. You just gotta be with them, guys. If you are disconnected from a biblical community regularly, that's problematic. Okay, so nurture. Watch them nurture. And finally, this one. Here it is. Invite. Watch, nurture, invite. That's how I keep those intimacies intact. What does invite mean? This is the big one. Ready? Ready? You open your inner life up to Jesus, to your spouse, and to your biblical community, and you invite them into these secret, vulnerable places. See, we live in a world of pretense. Let's just speak it out there. We live in a world of pretense. You pretend, I pretend. Come on. I know you do. You go, no, I don't, Renaud. Yes, you do. You absolutely pretend. So do I. We pretend a lot. Because we are guarding our inner life from the outer world, because our inner life is always a little messy. And what Jesus says is, stop. Stop it. Open up your inner life and let the mess be known and say, can you come into my mess and kind of do some work there? Honey, you know, come on in. And biblical community, here I am. Here I am. We have been told by the enemy that you are safest when you are guarded. And I'm here to tell you that that is a bold-faced lie from the pit of hell. You are not safest when you are guarded. You are safest when you are vulnerable, when you are open. And if you are guarded, you are on the way to a devastating decision. Open yourself up. Be real. Be honest. Honest. Wow, the courage to be honest. And then when you're done doing that, you've been watchful, you're nurturing, you're inviting people into your life, then you will begin to watch the intimacies of those three relationships. If that's who you're inviting in, that's who you're nurturing, and that's who you are watchful over, you will watch those intimacies grow. Guys, listen to me. If you are sort of, yeah, you know, that's a good point. I really need to jump into that. Can I challenge you? May you and I step back in, be more watchful, be more nurturing, be more inviting than you've ever been to guard those intimacies. They will become the hindells at your gate so that your inner city, your inner life is guarded well from the invisible ships that are coming to take your heart and make you make stupid decisions and devastating decisions over time. If you're already there, you haven't guarded for a few years, your city's a mess, you've been hiding well, the ships have come in, they've wreaked havoc, you're looking at porn a bunch, or you're already falling in love with the other woman, or you're already, you know, Jesus is practically nothing to you, or whatever. Whatever it is, if it's already a mess, you're already, you know, using that substance to just kind of chill out on every single night. Can I give you some advice? Don't start by being watchful. It's too late. Don't start by being nurturing. It's too late. Start by being inviting. Go to your biblical community and say, guys, man, listen, I have been convinced that keeping the secret is keeping me safe, but I realize now that I'm just on my way to the inner life being revealed in horrid outer decisions that will devastate me, my family, and the gospel. I don't want to go there. Let us not be seeking out healing on the other end of devastating decisions, which by God's grace is always available if you've already messed up. But let us instead seek prevention so that we never have to walk through that valley of the shadow of death. For those three men that I have watched fall, I have no doubt the devastation of their journey through the valley of the shadow of death has been darker than anything they imagined. And by God's grace, they will walk out of it and have begun to, and they will walk into the light again, because that is God's grace. But who wants to walk through hell and back if you don't have to? Let us guard the intimacies of our lives, because they guard our heart, and let accountability do what it does. Guard us from our stupid moments. May we give ourselves to our Creator, to our wife, and to our biblical community. Would you pray with me?